When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The under 19 girls lost by one run to South Africa. This is Sri Lanka 99.94. I'm Mark Charter from the Merrilyand, and I'm joined as always by Estelle Vargas-Devon from the Papere. We are talking about a heartbreaking exit for the Sri Lanka under 19 girls at the World Cup in South Africa, where they lost to the host by one run. Actually, I need to reframe that slightly, Estelle, because even if they had won, they wouldn't have actually gone through to the final four. But they could have ended on a glorious high. Let's start by talking about that game, because the girls did well, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I remember having a conversation with one of my colleagues in office, and, you know, during lunch, and he was like, "We're going to lose this, aren't we?" Which is, unfortunately, the kind of expectation you have with most of Sri Lanka's teams now, right? And I told him, you know what, just don't think that, because South Africa haven't like been that good during the tournament. They did beat Bangladesh, but they haven't looked like, say, an India or an England, right? And then, of course, like, I think you were watching it as well. I couldn't watch the whole game, but I was watching it in at the end. And yeah, it was, I mean, you had to feel for those girls, right? I mean, they came so close. And imagine hitting your first delivery of the game, you hit a boundary and you still lose by one run. Just incredibly disappointed for them. But I think they can be proud of what they've done during the tournament. Results didn't go their way, but there's a lot of positives, I think, to take from the entire team.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's kind of recap their tournament a bit, where they started off. We've done pods on this previously, so if you want a more in-depth look at these games, you can go back and listen to some of our back catalogue. They started off, they beat the USA, they lost to Bangladesh and to Australia, but beating the USA was enough to get them through to the Super Six stage, where they lost quite heavily to India, and they came quite tight. As we say, they lost by only one run to South Africa. It's kind of strange to say this, because obviously the only win was actually their first game. But I think actually, as you watch them, you seem to see them develop and get better. They got, you talked about being courageous and brave. They definitely were courageous and brave. They actually, that chase against South Africa probably was their best performance, in terms of they in South Africa's 20 overs they got 8 wickets, and then Sri Lanka kind of lost their way very slightly in the middle, and possibly lost wickets at key moments, and then that final over they lose 2 wickets, which, like, I'm not really that concerned about losing the wickets, but it's more those 2 wickets when they couldn't score any runs. I mean, if they got one run of those two balls, they would have drawn the game at least and got a positive result. And that would have, I think, would have changed the way we would break down this, their performance over the tournament totally. And actually, in a way, I think maybe it kind of shows that if SLC put a little bit more resource, if there was a little bit more structure for girls to play cricket on the island, and, you know, it's easy for me to sit in this ivory tower in London and say that, because I know obviously there's a lot of economic and political issues in Sri Lanka, and you know, girls playing any sort of sport, let alone cricket, or let alone getting, you know, good high quality red ball coaching, might be quite seem low down the pecking order or hierarchy of needs, as it were. But if there was any way to do that, then I definitely can't see why Sri Lanka couldn't be a force in women's cricket in the same way that they are in men's cricket, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm so glad you brought up the structure, because I think what a lot of people forget when they watch the women's side, and particularly this under-19 team, is they're basically just picked out of a handful of schools, right? Because not many schools play leatherball cricket. I think one of the latest inclusions in the side, I'm not entirely sure of her name, but there is no leatherball cricket in her school. But she's been training under Shashikala Sirivardhana at the MCA, and through their practice games, obviously Shashikala's coach, and she's seen something in her and picked her, right? So imagine how many other kids out there who probably never take up cricket, but who could potentially be good at it, right? And the other thing is, like, when we look at structure and we look at kind of playing in these situations, you've spoken so much about big match atmosphere, right? About how that builds, like, it kind of gives boys a platform from which, like, there's so much pressure on them, and they learn how to cope with that kind of pressure, the crowds, all of that, while they're still in school, which is a massive advantage, right? The girls don't have that at all, right? Sure, there must be, they do, I think, play, there are a bit of, you know, rivalries in Colombo, down south, etc. But that kind of atmosphere you don't get in the girls' game, especially when there are so few teams playing, right? So amidst all of that, I think going to South Africa, again, foreign conditions, none of them have gone overseas to play cricket before. I'm sure that's the same case for a lot of the other teams in the competition as well. Resources, obviously, different levels for the different teams. But just to go out there under those conditions and do that well, I thought, to me, was very, very impressive. I think, I mean, we're hoping to speak to Shashikala Sirivardhana at thepapare.com sometime in the next week. If I meet her, I'd definitely tell her, look, you know, we are proud of how well they've done, because results may not have gone their way, but just the kind of fight they showed. And these are, at the end of the day, sorry to sound like a Sri Lankan auntie, but they're children, right? I mean, Manu Dinanakar is 15. Deumi Vihanga is 17. They're kids, right? And to come into situations like that, the way they played, I think was really, really impressive.
If they're 15, it means potentially, depending on when their birthday falls, then they might be able to play in two more iterations of the Under-19s World Cup. This is the first time this tournament has been held. It's got a lot of kind of traction. Cricket's getting ever more popular. We've seen this week that there's been they've unveiled plans for the Women's Premier League, the Women's IPL. Mm-hmm. There's a huge amount of money going into it over there. Women's cricket's only going from strength to strength, and it's not going away. And if Sri Lanka was to be taken seriously as a cricketing nation, then it's got to put things in place to create good young women's cricketers. And they've just got to try and invest more, right? I've been very vocal on this podcast previously about needing the bigger Colombo schools, the bigger girls' schools across the country to put more into red ball cricket. I'd love there to be a big match between, I don't know what the two biggest girls' schools are. Was it Ladies College and
one of them is Methodist College,
Holy Family Convent, Colombo, something 3. Like that. Methodist College, yeah. That's where all the best sports journalists come from, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'd love these schools to get involved and create that culture. When I'm always talking to my Sri Lankan relatives, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that in some of these schools, the old girls' associations are as vibrant and as, you know, as wealthy as the old boys' associations with the bigger schools. Maybe they're the people that we need to engage and get them involved and get them to put on, you know, to put pressure onto the schools to start some red ball cricket and let's get Sri Lanka being a force in women's cricket as in the same way that the men's team are. Estelle, should we take a quick break and then should we have a look at some of the players who stood out in that tournament?
I'm Jared Kimber and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, I look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
Yeah, we do speak cricket. Do follow us across social media and remember to download the app. I think if you download the app, I think you can follow Estelle and myself. And I think there's meant to be some sort of rivalry with everyone else. Talking about kind of rivalries with everyone else, there's also a Sri Lanka on 99.4 Twitter account. And look, I can't impact whether or not Sri Lanka will win cricket games. I can't impact how many players that we're going to have in the IPL. I can't impact how many wickets Sasaranga is going to take or any runs Kusum Mendes is going to score. But what I can do is try and persuade you to follow Sri Lanka on 99.94 on Twitter. What's the Twitter account? SL on 994 DM. Is that what it is, Estelle?
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
Yes, 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 it is. Yeah. SL on 99.94, yeah.
Yeah, what my vision is that we have the biggest Twitter account of all the other 99.94 teams. I don't know if that will happen. I'm going to need your help with that, listener. So if you're on Twitter, please do give us a follow. You can watch the shows live on there, and you can watch the shows live on YouTube as well. We're trying to stick roughly to about the same time every week, about 7 o'clock Sri Lanka time or India time, which is lunchtime in the UK. I have absolutely no idea what time it is in Australia. And if you watch it live, you can leave your comments. And I'll get to the comments, if there are any, later on in the show. Estelle, I want to ask you, who were the players in the Sri Lankan squad at the under-19s who stood out for you during this tournament?
Yeah, I think one name that we have to talk about is Devi Bihanga. I think she was fantastic with both bat and ball. She's exactly the type of player I think the Sri Lanka senior team needs, that middle order player who can strike the ball well and another spinner who can really, you know, keep the runs down and pick you wickets. So she's definitely one. Obviously, Vishmi Gunaratne is already on the radar, right? She's played international cricket. Another one is Manu Dinanayakkara, who I mentioned again. Didn't have too many kind of big performances in the tournament, but just watching her play, I mean, I must say, if you didn't watch the game against South Africa, please go on to ICC. They have a separate website for the under-19 World Cup. Go to that scorecard and you can watch every wicket and you can watch the highlights and just watch some of those shots those girls play. Fantastic. Like, I mean, Netmi Senaratna played some incredible shots on the offside. Like I mentioned, Manu Dinanayakkara, Devi Bihanga all played some really great shots. And the fielding was incredible. I think at least 3 catches there, which I would not back people in the senior team to take, which is saying a lot, I guess, because I mean,
senior men's or women's team?
The women's team, whose fielding has cost them a lot of games. I didn't mention it earlier when we were talking about that game against South Africa, but the fielding was definitely a standard. I think it's what enabled them to keep South Africa down to 133 on that track. So those 3 players are the main ones, I could say. But I think there were a couple of quicks. Also, Harini Pereira played the last game, looked to have like a pretty decent action. There was no speedometer as far as I know. So I don't know how quick she was bowling, but she did seem like, you know, she was finding some rhythm. Rashmi Netranjali is another one. And I think what's important to notice, since they are like, you know, 15 to 19 years old, maybe their skill is, it's not if they're bowlers, the batting skill can still be honed as well. So I think that's important to remember. So I think a lot of, if I can say, all of them are ones to watch for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked about the structure, the fact that, you know, these girls somehow managed to catch the eye of selectors and get there means that there's, you know, probably considerable amount of talent in all of them. And we also, you know, I've been a bit critical thus far of the structure. We know that, well, we're expecting at least a women's T10 to kick off in SL at some point in the next few months. So hopefully that's a domestic opportunity that some of these girls can get themselves involved in. Estelle, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about which of these girls you think might make the senior squad, because there is a full senior World Cup only about 2 weeks away.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sarah Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI. We've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube, and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
So I think we're about 2 weeks away, Estelle, from the full Senior World Cup kicking off. That's in South Africa as well. We are sending a team that got to the Asia Cup final, but we've got quite a difficult group, right? Because we're going to have to play, I think, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa and Bangladesh. And I'd say off that group, likely, we kind of going into it, we will be second favourites in almost all those games, apart from maybe Bangladesh. And even that, I think actually, we're probably, there's not much between us and Bangladesh as it stands. Firstly, one of the continuing themes that every time we talk about this tournament is, I have to ask you if we know who the head coach will be going into the tournament, and you will tell me that SLC have announced who it's going to be. Well, they haven't.
They haven't announced it. The team is in a training camp, I think, in Dambulla, if I'm not mistaken. And the squad has not been picked yet. So we are expecting the squad to be out at least on the 29th, because they're going to play a couple of intra-squad games just to, I guess, fill up those last couple of positions. I don't know if there can be that many changes to the side, particularly because Sri Lanka hasn't played that much cricket since. Have they played? They haven't played anything since the Asia Cup. So, So I don't foresee too many changes to that squad. But the coach has not been announced. Maybe we will find out before they go.
Are we expecting? I know Vishmi's been around the senior squad. Are we expecting her and maybe Dumi to get into the senior squad for the tournament? Have you got any intel? Is there any other under-19s that you think they might be looking at to take, who've done well in South Africa, played a bit of cricket in South Africa now, and kind of understand the conditions, who might get into the squad?
Yeah, I don't have any insight on it, okay? But I do think that Vishmi will be a pick. Just because, as you said, they've been playing in South Africa, right? And she has been opening alongside Chamari Athapattu in Sri Lanka's most recent game. So before she got injured. So she should be one of the automatic picks from that side. I won't be surprised if they do also pick Deomi Vihanga. Just maybe she doesn't get too many games, but, you know, it's a good experience to travel with that senior team and just, you know, get that experience under her belt as well, because I have no doubt if she does stay in this path, you know, want to pursue cricket as a career, I have no doubt she'll make it into the senior side. So it's just a matter of time. So maybe keeping her in the squad might be a good option, just to give her that kind of exposure.
Before we round off this episode, Estelle, there's been a lot of buzz online and in India about the Women's Premier League, the Women's IPL that I mentioned earlier. Has there been much talk about that in Sri Lanka? You know, I know you mix in cricketing circles. And also, you know, I think Chamri's got a pretty good chance of getting a contract. I'm not actually entirely sure how many foreign players each team will be allowed, and obviously there's only five teams, so there's not a huge amount of places. Do you think that any other players might be being looked at by various franchises?
Yeah, I heard that it's going to be five international players in a playing 11, so that just does open up a few more opportunities. I'm hoping at least two players get picked in Inoka Ranavira and Chamari. Because you know, we've been hurt before, right? When it comes to IPL and other franchise leagues, where it seems like players from certain countries are preferred over Sri Lankans. But I'd hope at least those two get in. Inoka Ranavira had a great year. She had a fantastic series against India as well and the Asia Cup. So I think, you know, if teams aren't looking at her, they're kind of missing out, because she's one of the premier spinners in the world, was picked in the ICC T20 Team of the Year as well. So, you know, she's got herself out there. One big positive I think I've seen over the last few months are there seems to be a lot of those players being taken or, you know, becoming involved with player managers, which I don't think was the case in the past. I mean, obviously the big players had their managers, but it seems like a lot of the younger ones are also getting that opportunity. So I'm sure they'll be really pushing hard to get a few of their players in the WPL. Obviously, you know, the value it creates will be massive for Sri Lanka cricket if we can get multiple players in. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. Like I said, I don't want to get my hopes up, because we've seen, you know, sometimes even when performance warrants selection, we've seen, you know, Sri Lankan players overlooked in the past on the men's side. And you also, I guess, have to consider the fact that as a team, Sri Lanka haven't been doing well on the women's side. So it's almost a given that sometimes people aren't really considering players from Sri Lanka when they're talking about combinations in their teams. But hopefully that's not the case. Minimum two players. I hope for more.
Hopefully we get more than two players in. Estelle, before we go, we should let people know this is our 50th episode as well.
Are we really the fastest to 50?
I don't know. I'll have to find that. I feel like some of the other teams might be doing it more. If not, we should definitely be the fastest to 100. Like, that's a challenge we just set ourselves, right? Because we could just do like five in a day or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Five lives a day.
You know, five lives a day. Yeah, traditional. It's like at any Sri Lankan at a party, isn't it? We're always slightly late, but then when we get there, we always do well, and slowly and surely. Hopefully, I like to consider that we're the life and soul of the 99.94 party, but I don't know if that's true or not. Estelle, let's leave it there. Thank you for listening. We'll be back very soon with more great happenings from the world of Sri Lankan cricket.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast, and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.